from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here is the news, first the headlines. UNDP launches 7-year of the Youth Collab Program. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs urged Indonesian citizens to anticipate the situation in the Middle East. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where in the 7th year of the Youth Collab Program, the United Nations Development Program UNDP handed over models to the Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sports in Jakarta on Thursday. The Youth Collab Program was launched by UNDP in collaboration with Bappenas, the Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture, and supported by the City Foundation and the British Council. Deputy Chief Representative of UNDP Indonesia, Sujala Pant, said that the handover of models is important for the sustainability of the program.
Today is particularly important because we've been doing UNDP together with the Ministry of Youth, and Bappenas and the Ministry of Cultural Affairs and Human Development, and of course with the support of Citi. We have been working this project for about 7 years. So it's a culmination, you know, of some very important work. And the handing over of the module, which you might have seen, is an important part for sustainability. So even when this youth collab comes to a close, the modules will continue to exist. The Ministry of Youth and Sports Affairs will continue to have these tools and resources that they can continue to bring to different communities and different young people across the country.
The Ministry of Youth and Sport will later integrate the Youth Collab module on youth social entrepreneurship, which includes materials on digital marketing, strategic finance and impact measurements and management into national programs, including the Entrepreneurship Lecturer Facilitator Training Program, or TOF, to strengthen the youth entrepreneurship ecosystem across Indonesia. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs continues to monitor the development of the situation in the Middle East related to the Israel-Hezbollah conflict. Although expecting de-escalation, the Indonesian government urged Indonesian citizens who are in the Middle East to increase vigilance against the possibility of war escalation. This was conveyed by Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuda Nugraha, in Jakarta on Thursday. In addition, Yuda also asked Indonesian citizens who will travel to the Middle East to postpone the trip.
Dan bagi warga negara kita yang memiliki rencana melakukan perjalanan.
For our citizens who have plans to travel to Lebanon, Syria, Iran, Israel, or Palestine, and also Yemen, they can postpone their trip.
Israel atau Palestina dan juga Yaman untuk dapat menunda perjalanan mereka.
Yuda Nugraha father asked Indonesian citizens who plan to fly through the Middle East region to anticipate the escalation of conflict in the region. According to Yuda, a number of countries in the Middle East will allegedly close their airspace if the escalation increases. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs noted that there are currently 85 Indonesian citizens in Lebanon, 392 people in Iran, and 235 people in Israel and Palestine. He also said that the Indonesian embassy in Beirut has set alert 1 status for Lebanon, the Indonesian embassy in Amman has set alert 1 status for Israel and Palestine, The Indonesian embassy in Damascus has set alert 1 status for 4 provinces in Syria, while the Indonesian embassy in Tehran has set alert 2 status for Iran. Ukrainian ambassador to Indonesia, Vasil Hamianin, has revived the peace proposal between Ukraine and Russia that Prabowo Subianto made at the Shangri-La Dialogue in Singapore last year as defense minister. In a press briefing monitored online on Thursday, Ambassador Hamianin said that Ukraine rejected the proposal because there had been no talks with the Ukrainian side before the proposal was presented by Prabowo. He also explained that after Prabowo returned from Singapore and his side studied the proposal, he understood and accepted the proposals well.
It was next day he came back from Shangri-La last year. And I tried to understand what he wanted to propose, what he proposed, what the essence of the proposals. And I did understand this. And I accepted this with pleasure and with gratitude. The only thing is, the few minutes during which Pak Prabowo presented his proposals were not enough to make a detailed explanations of what he meant.
Ambassador Vasil Hamianin hopes that the Indonesian government and people can join the discussion to promote peace and a workable peace formula in Ukraine. However, he hopes that a peaceful solution will be based on the principles set by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Ambassador Hamianin believes that Prabowo has several peace proposals that Ukraine can consider. Indonesia will host the 6th ASEAN Human Rights Dialogue meeting in Jakarta on November 5, 2024. Indonesia and Laos, the current chair of ASEAN, will co-chair the meeting. Spokesperson of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Rolian Shah Sumirat, in Jakarta on Thursday said that the meeting is a follow-up to the ASEAN leaders' declaration on the ASEAN Human Rights Dialogue, an agreement reached in 2023 when the ASEAN chairmanship was held by Indonesia.
Indonesia bersama Ketua ASEAN tahun ini, Laos, akan...
Indonesia, along with the ASEAN chairman, Laos, will be co-chair of the 6th ASEAN Human Rights Dialogue meeting, which will take place in Jakarta on November 5th next week. This is a follow-up to the ASEAN leaders' declaration on the ASEAN Human Rights Dialogue, which was ratified during Indonesia's chairmanship of ASEAN in 2023.
Teman-teman mungkin ingat disahkan pada saat keketuaan Indonesia di ASEAN tahun 2023 lalu.
Roliansa added that Indonesia is committed to continuing all agreements that have been reached by ASEAN during the Indonesian chairmanship. He also explained that the ASEAN Human Rights Dialogue meeting is a form of commitment of ASEAN countries to discuss human rights issues in each member countries collegially. It is intended to share experiences in efforts to promote and protect human rights on an ongoing basis. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs for the 2014-2024 period, Retno Marsudi, on Friday officially began her duties as Special Envoy of the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, for Water Affairs. This was conveyed through uploading a photo of herself on social media Instagram, which features Retno Marsudi with the UN flag behind her. Retno is the first Special Envoy of the UN Secretary General for Water Issues, a position given by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres on September 13. In her post, Retno called on the global community to place water issues at the top of the global political agenda and work together to ensure water becomes a common good for all. A number of tasks that Retno will carry out as the UN Secretary General Special Envoy for Water Affairs, including strengthening partnerships and joint efforts to advance the world water agenda, including following up on the result of the UN Water Conference 2023. In addition, she is tasked with increasing cooperation in supporting international water targets. Minister of Tourism Widianti Putri Wardana said the Aquabike Jet Ski World Championship 2024, which will be held on November 13 to 17 at Lake Toba, North Sumatra, is expected to be able to increase tourist visit and improve the welfare of the community. Reporting from the statement of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism in the Aquabike Jet Ski World Championship 2024 press conference at the InJourney office in Jakarta on Thursday, Minister Widianti explained the Aquabike Jet Ski World Championship 2024 is the second year of the world-level jet ski championship series held on Lake Toba. A total of 73 racers from 30 countries will compete in this event, as well as 10 Indonesian racers. This event is held in 4 districts around Lake Toba, namely Karo, Dairi, Simalungun, and Samosir Regency. She added this event is also packed with the Lake Toba's People's Party, which will offer a variety of activities that are expected to attract tourists to see firsthand the cultural diversity and warmth of the Batak people. The Indonesian Trade and Economic Office in Taipei reported that no Indonesians were victims of Typhoon Kongrei that hit the island of Taiwan on Thursday afternoon local time. Reported by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs on Thursday, Director of the Protections of Indonesian Citizens and Indonesian Legal Entities at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuda Nugraha, said that the office of in Taipei continues to monitor and establish communication with Indonesians in Taiwan to ensure their safety amid the storm. He also said the office in Taipei continues to urge Indonesians in Taiwan to increase their awareness of Typhoon Kongrei and its impact. They are urged not to leave their respective residences except for urgent needs. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on North Korean troops' deployment to Russia criticized. South Korean Defense Minister Kim Jong-hyun and United States Defense Minister Lloyd Austin condemned the deployment of North Korean troops to Russia during the 56th Security Consultation Meeting in Washington, United States on Wednesday, October the 13th. According to Yonhap on Thursday, October the 31st, in a joint communique, Kim and Austin stated that military cooperation between Pyongyang and Moscow, including weapons and high technology transfers, was a clear violation of the UN Security Council resolution. They also asked Russia to uphold its commitment to the resolution. The United States confirmed on October 23, 2024, that North Korea had sent 3,000 troops to Russia, which had the potential to be mobilized in Ukraine. Russian Ambassador to UN, Vasily Nebenzia, in the UN Security Council meeting on Wednesday, questioned why Russian allies like North Korea could not help Moscow in its war against Ukraine. While Western countries continue to provide assistance to Ukraine in the form of sophisticated weapons under the pretext of having the right to help Kyiv defend itself. Nebenzia said the interaction between the Russian military and North Korea did not violate international law. Pyongyang itself has not directly confirmed or denied the accusation of South Korea, except stating that every action will comply with international law. It is really confirmed that North Korea provides direct military support for Russia. It is not impossible to cause widespread and increased war in Ukraine. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol has warned that Seoul will not remain silent. He said that his country would review the prohibition on the deadly aid to Ukraine. All parties involved need to refrain from preventing the widespread war that occurred in Ukraine. Widespread war will cause prolonged suffering, increased damage, and broader geopolitical divisions. That was commentary today.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. all started in history with November 1, 1954, when the War of Independence in Algeria began. Algerian War of Independence is the war between the Algerian National Liberation Front, or NLF, and French, which had controlled Algeria since 1830. On November 1, 1954 in the morning, NLF members carried out 70 attacks in various locations in Algeria. The NLF also issued a declaration that invited the Algerians to fight against French. This was the beginning of the Algerian War of Independence, which lasted until Algeria became independent in 1962. Let's move on to November 1, 1993, when the Maastricht Treaty began to apply, leading to the establishment of the European Union. The Maastricht Treaty was signed by 12 members of the European Economic Community, EEC, in Maastricht, the Netherlands, on February 7, 1992. This agreement changed the name of the European Economic Community into European Communities, or EEC, with the aim of integrating Europe in the economic and non-economic fields. Maastricht Agreement also marked the establishment of the European Union with three-pillar organization, namely the European Communities, the Common Foreign and Security Policy, and cooperation between European Union Government on Justice and Home Affairs. All three were then combined into one European Union entity through Lisbon's agreements in 2009. The Maastricht Treaty came into force on November 1, 1993. I'll end today in history with November 1, 1999, when the Indonesian 100,000 rupiah banknotes were first issued. The biggest banknotes today found in the Indonesian currency rupiah are 100,000 rupiah. The fraction was first issued by the Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, on November 1, 1999. At that time, 100,000 rupiah banknotes made from polymers were considered safer to counterfeiting, but since 2004, this fraction has been using ordinary paper. Since its emergence until now, 100,000 rupiah banknotes have always displayed images of Indonesian independence proclamators Soekarno and Muhammad Hatta on the front.
Stronger, stronger, stronger. let your fear, don't let your fear intervention. I disappear, nothing can even prevent you.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Coordinating Minister for Food Zulkifli Hasan in a press conference in the Trade Ministry Building, Jakarta on Wednesday said, the budget for food self-sufficiency 2025 is much as 139.4 trillion rupiah. Total budget will be shared to some related ministries and institutions such as the Agriculture Ministry, Forestry Ministry, Maritime and Fishery Ministry, Public Works Ministry, National Nutrition Agency, Food State-Owned Enterprises, and others. The budget distribution is used for fertilizer procurements up to 44 trillion rupiah, which is given to the Food State-Owned Enterprises, Village Fund for Food Resilience up to 16.25 trillion, opening new rice fields of 15 trillion rupiah, National Nutrition Agency 71 trillion rupiah, and others. Minister Zulkifli also said, the budget will be divided into some other programs from the related ministries or institution under the Coordinating Ministry for Food. Earlier, Zulkifli revealed that in realizing the food self-sufficiency program aimed to be achieved by 2028, across ministries and institutions collaboration is necessary. Meanwhile, Minister of State Secretariat Prasetyo Hadi said President Prabowo Subianto asked all related ministry to support the Agriculture Ministry as the top sector in chasing the target of food self-sufficiency in 3 to 4 years. Prasetyo said food self-sufficiency became a priority program and main concern for President Prabowo Subianto. According to Prasetyo, President Prabowo Subianto said food self-sufficiency is a must, considering Indonesia is an agrarian country that cannot depend on other nations to fulfill its food needs.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Borobudur Temple is not the only tourist attraction in Magelang, Central Java. There are still other interesting attractions that you can visit. For example, Kedung Kayang Waterfall. This waterfall flows between the foot of Mount Merapi and Mount Merbabu, so you can enjoy the panoramic views of the mountains with a beautiful waterfall background. The atmosphere is also calming with fresh air. This waterfall flows beautifully between the foothills of Mount Merapi and Mount Merbabu, so visitors can enjoy the panoramic views of the mountains with a charming waterfall background. The location is in Ngagrong Hamlet, Magelang. From Magelang city center, it's about 34 kilometers with a travel time of 1 hour. To enter Kedung Kayang Waterfall, you must pay an entrance ticket of 5,000 rupiah or less than $1. To get to the waterfall, you still have to walk along the path and through the river for 10 minutes. Upon arrival in front of the waterfall, you will be mesmerized by the rushing water that looks like a giant curtain. Taking pictures with the waterfall in the background is a favorite tourist activity. You can also swim or play in the clear and fresh water pool. For those of you who are adventurous, you can go trekking around the waterfall. There are various hiking trails that offer natural views of green forests and small rivers. For those of you who want to spend the night, you can camp at the location of this waterfall. The facilities are complete with toilets, prayer rooms, a car park, a dining area, a camping site, and a viewing post to enjoy the surrounding scenery. Thank you.
ashes. Oh my lord, let the sword, she killed the ghost.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany.
A unique art festival titled Art Love You will be held from November 1st to 12th, 2024 at the Jakarta Design Center. The festival will explore the language of love by 43 current artists who agree to dissect the meaning of love in a broader perspective, namely the spirit of youth and passion for art. President Director of Jakarta Design Center, Nurul Syahri, explained the new vision and mission of the GDC building with the tagline, "The Premium Hub of Art, Design, Community and Commons." This activity is carried out to support the development of arts, culture and creativity that boosts Indonesian tourism, one of which is through the Art Love You activity. Jakarta Design Center will continue to create creative spaces with various arts events. Artistic director of the Art Love You Festival, Rohadi, said that the Art Love You Festival is an effort to respond to the development of the world of education and industry, which now turns to technology and culture. Rohadi added that the festival provides a service and design space that features GDC as a hub, including an art performance with a tagline change. The series of events are artist talk, workshop, and creative sharing to appreciations of art education, such as sketching. The artists involved included Joko Avianto, Dolorosa Sinaga, Kun Tanubrata, Bintang Tanah Timur, Bill Modor, Jason Ranti. The event was also enlivened by an art essay writing class session by curator and art critic Bambang Asrini. This kind of event should be held as an art education event for the younger generation.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, Voice of Indonesia listeners. Welcome back to another segment of Music Corner, where we bring you the vibrant sounds of Indonesian pop. Today, I'll play you a song called Tahu Sumedang, which means Sumedang Tofu, a local snack from West Java. Tahu Sumedang is performed by Javunisun, a J-rock band from West Java. This song gained popularity in the 2010s as a parody of the Pegasus Fantasy soundtrack. The lyrics tells us about the delight of enjoying Tahu Sumedang, an iconic West Javanese snack loved by people of all backgrounds and can be enjoyed at any time. With its energetic melody and playful lyrics, Tahu Sumedang is often used in TikTok and Instagram. Well, listeners, here is Tahu Sumedang by Javunisun. Happy listening!
Sumedang, tahu rumah tang sono, cekuring, cat ayam, anu bisa nyeri ho. Tahu Sumedang, tahu rupang raos na, komo di cing.
Songs Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Get out from this hole.
Of Indonesia.
Thank you. skin of your thigh. Is it too much you're inside, or does it have to do with something like how you seem so rough? Turns out it's soft inside. Oh, I don't know.
Listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out. Bye for now.